And a good Wednesday morning to you, and welcome into the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. Elijah Campbell manning things at the Hillside Medical Game Studios. Beautiful day. I think the temperatures are going up. Not to where this weekend's going to be, where it's going to be in the 80s, but they're going up. They're going in the right direction. Predators are going in the right direction after a nice shootout win last night over Calgary. We'll get into all that here this first hour. Chris Mason will join us at 1 o'clock. Teresa Walker will begin the second hour with us. She was sitting courtside last night for the Grizzlies' annihilation in Game 2 of Minnesota. Never a game, from what I can tell. Elijah, two of us were working, but from what I can tell, kind of trying to follow it on Twitter, looked like it was Memphis from start to finish.
After the first quarter, Minnesota played them pretty tight, but Memphis did a really good job of, I guess, not letting Karl Anthony Towns shoot 20 shots and dominate the game and kind of take over like he did in the first. And then the flip side of the Anthony Edwards experience happened last night too, where he'll get his 20 shots in. You just don't know if he's hitting 15 or if he's hitting 5. And that first half, he missed a lot of shots. So I think the Grizzlies have some pretty good control in the series right now.
Yeah, I don't count first quarters when I say they control from start. Like, I don't even count first quarters in the NBA. It's like the most irrelevant quarter of any sport because it really means nothing.
Those teams erase deficits, like 20-point deficits in 5 minutes.
In the NBA, like the first quarter, it's literally meaningless. I don't ever care about what the score is after the first quarter of an NBA game because it has no bearing on how that game's going to play out, unless the first quarter happens to be 40-4. And I don't think I've seen any of those games lately. You know, I mean, it's just, to me, it's kind of laughable. Honestly, the first half in the NBA really is irrelevant to me. It's like the second half is where business picks up. So the Grizzlies even up that series. We'll talk to Teresa at 11 o'clock. Tell you what, Pelicans, how about that? Beat the Suns last night.
That was a shocker.
And well, if Booker is hurt.
Mm-hmm. If he's out, they're in trouble because Brandon Ingram doesn't play around.
Yep. So we'll get into all that a little bit later in the program. Willie, how we doing?
He's good and muted. He is
awesome.
Speaking, but no words are coming out
really,
because he is muted.
Sounds great. Really? Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
I guess I got to make the adjustment. When I do the show from home, you have to actually unmute yourself. In the studio, you do mute yourself. So, got to make the adjustment.
You do.
Late to the party here. False start. I'm backing up 15 yards, but I'm gonna make it up for it.
Just don't be Fred Miller, if you could, please.
I'll try to avoid that.
Don't do it six
times.
You
mean basically a game-long problem, a show-long problem.
Don't do it six times.
That would be the Fred Miller.
Yeah. False start. False start, Villy. You don't want to be false start, Villy.
No.
Good game last night.
Yeah, a really good game. Good bounce back. Needed that bad. Sort of puts in the rearview mirror the nightmare second period they had on Sunday. I think they proved to themselves they could beat a top-level team. They've done plenty of that during the season. If you take a look, they've beaten Colorado twice. They've won at St. Louis. They've beaten Minnesota three times. They've now beaten Calgary twice. So they can hang with the big boys when they have their act together. And last night I thought they really did a great job to a man of playing the type of hockey they have to play to be successful. And I think had they finished a little bit more, and hey, look, you got to give Dan Vladar a young up and coming goalie who, you know, hasn't played a whole lot. You got to give him credit. I thought he made a lot of really good saves, but I think if you look at the analytics of that game, Nashville was clearly the better team last night. Now the Flames were playing on a back-to-back. They may not have been at their full throttle.
And didn't have Markstrom in that, who's a Vezina Trophy finalist.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know if you can play a lot better than Vladar played in that game when you get down to it. But you're right; they didn't have their ace in there, and you know, I think they're sort of cruising to the finish line here. I think they're going to have they'll have more levels to offer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
if you play them in the playoffs, but at the same time, job well done and another step forward.
Yeah, it's a game they needed. They held Calgary to 21 shots, which was pretty amazing. I kind of went through the steps with Nick Cousins last night in post game. Kind of the first period was filling out process. He even said they were a bit tight in the first period. Obviously, they were trying to make sure they responded from Sunday. They were embarrassed by Sunday, and they wanted to make sure they responded last night. But, you know, there's a reason why there's a saying out there called gripping the stick too tight, and that's kind of basically what he described they were doing in the first period. Business picked up in the second, and then the third period, it felt like a playoff game. At least I told him that's the way it felt to me, and he agreed as a player, and then it just, you know, continued on into overtime. I thought the Predators were going to get the win in OT. You could see Roman Josi's face, the expression, as time expired because they had the man advantage. He's like, no, just give us a few more seconds. But nonetheless, it would be Granlin that would win it in a shootout. How about the shootout sniper he's turned into? 3-for-3 this season in the shootout.
He's done very well, and Juuse Saros has become a very, very good shootout goalie when you look at it. In fact, the last there haven't been a lot of shootouts, but the last two, he has not allowed a goal. 6-for-6 in the save department. So makes your job pretty easy. All you got to do is score one. And that's what's happened, I think, against Dallas and against Calgary last night. You just need one, and UC does the rest. The great line, Kara Hammer actually asked John Hines, what goes into your decision of whether to shoot first or put your goalie out first? There's a lot of different schools of thought. Most teams shoot first, but basically what he said is this. He goes, I would rather have the pressure put on their goalie, and I'll put the pressure on Juuse Saros to where, you know, what happens is you've got your goalie trying to close out a game. And he said, my money's on Juuse every time. So he's really gotten good at that. If you look early in his career, that was a big weakness in his game. He could not win a shootout. I think he lost like the first 5 or 6 shootouts that he was involved in when he first came into the league. But he's completely turned that around in the last few seasons. So that's a clutch point there. They certainly earned the first point and probably felt like they should have gotten 2 in regulation. But, you know, they didn't put their head down, and they did what they had to do to get that extra point.
Yeah, the window is closing pretty quickly. There's still a gap. There's a little bit of a breeze coming in underneath the seal. But Vegas and Vancouver, Philly, the two V teams, they're going to have to basically win out. You know, I haven't looked at the latest odds. It's got to be up over 90% for the Predators to get in. I just kind of feel like last night's win, I know there's 5 to go, but barring a total collapse, they lose all 5, no points, and Vegas or Vancouver, you know, win all 5. Or what do they have? Actually, the Preds, no,
they've each
got 5 left. Dallas is the one that's got the game in hand.
If you do the math on Vegas and Vancouver to get into the playoffs, those teams each have 5 games left. And so the most points that both of them could get would be 97.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like they're going to catch up. We thought there was a chance they'd catch L.A. It doesn't look like they're going to do it now.
So one of them would have to win out. L.A. got a clutch win last night against their rival, Anaheim. Hung on 2-1. I felt like Anaheim playing at home would be a tough game for them, but L.A. did a nice job. They got done what they needed to get done. That's what they're trying to do, is take advantage of this part of their schedule, which is pretty soft. They get Anaheim again at home in another day or two. They've only got 4 games left, but they've got a 5-point lead. So they're looking really good. A lot of people thought they were very vulnerable a few days ago, but they're in the driver's seat now for the number 3 spot in the Pacific. So Vegas and Vancouver, if one of them were to win out, that's 98. So that's max that they can get. So if you do the math, if Nashville, if they win 3 of the last 5, that's 99. So, you know, that's what we're looking at now. But that's if Vegas or Vancouver win out, which, you know, Vancouver's playing really, really well. But they stumbled last night. They were not able to beat Ottawa at home. They lost in the shootout. So that's a big, big point that they surrendered, because they were hoping to leapfrog Vegas last night. Another big game. There's some big games tonight, really, when you look at it. Dallas plays Edmonton tonight. That's a big, big game in terms of Nashville trying to stay ahead of Dallas, because if you stay ahead of Dallas,
They'll get
you
Calgary.
Take on Calgary and you avoid Colorado.
Yep. Robbie Stanley texted me on my text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, that the money puck has it at 97%. I would have not said that. I would have figured it would have been about 91, 92%, but I'm not making the odds. He says money puck has the Predators at a 97%, which, you know, like I said, I barring just complete collapse the rest of the way, and they still have Arizona on the schedule. I mean, come on. And Vancouver or Vegas winning out, I think they're in. I think last night punched their ticket into playoffs. Yes, win another one and just finish it up, right? Just go on and seal it, seal everybody's fate. But you're right. It's also important. I don't know if it's much of a discussion piece of whether they're in or not. It's more about, and I don't know if there really is a right answer, you know, on who would you rather play. We've played this game before. Man, the hockey playoffs are so unpredictable. You know, a couple years ago, I thought Dallas was a favorable matchup, and it was not long into that series. I was like, nope, this is not a favorable matchup at all. Dallas pushed the Predators around, and they had no chance in that series. So, you know,
it's also a higher
poison.
Plan.
Calgary, Colorado. You know, I thought Nick Cousins did say something interesting to me last night at Patron Platinum Club. He said that he thought Calgary and them were similar teams. So, I guess if you're looking to beat similar teams, then I'll choose a matchup against Calgary, a team that a player says is similar to them, and take your chances. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, I think, you know, in fairness, we did not see Calgary at full throttle. But also, let's remember this. Nashville just finished up a stretch of 9 games and 15 nights. That is tough. They went, I think, 4-4-1 during that stretch. Not their best stretch of the year, but hey, you're playing that much hockey in that short of time. That's not all bad. So I think it's, you know, what do these teams look like when the playoffs start? Can you play your best? I do think that in watching Calgary last night, just looking at their lineup, I don't think they have the levels that Colorado has in terms of, let's just take the example. You know, you and Hal were talking about this. I think you got an ask Hal question about this, and he pointed this out about Calgary. They don't have a dynamic blue line. They have a steady blue line, but they don't have those puck movers, those guys who are game changers like Colorado does with Sammy Girard and, of course, Cale Makar. And they've got a really deep, dynamic defense corps, which sometimes can get overshadowed because they've got MacKinnon and they've got Rantanen and all those guys as well. So the depth of scoring, the depth of offense, Calgary doesn't have that, but they do have a incredible rugged team that's been awfully good. But I do see a difference between Colorado and Calgary.
We'll come back. A historic night in Predators franchise history. We'll talk about that on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Well, we're talking about the Preds. How about Smashville Live tonight? Oh, we got words. That threw me off. I was like, oh, are you playing a clip? No, you actually got words. I'm not used to that. Elijah.
Eric V. and Rakim.
You threw me off.
Good call, Willie.
Look at Willie.
Yeah, that's old school right there. That's Colors soundtrack right there.
Let's do a radio virtual chest bump.
I had the cassette tape.
We just did it. A radio virtual chest bump. Mm. Smashville Live. In fact, with those skills, you should do Smashville Live tonight. Maybe sing a little bit coming out of breaks. 6 o'clock hour. You can watch it via the game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. Smashville Live every week is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Before we get into the next topic, let me rifle through some of these texts that we were getting while we were talking. Let's start with, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Some of these, it's going to be a little bit all over the place. I'll finish up with the Predators ones. Steven says, I love that you guys play the national anthem every morning, but you really need to get some new performers. I'm sure I'm not the first to suggest this. Thank you, Steven from Antioch. All right, we'll pass it along, Steven. And thanks.
I'll tell you what, we need to.
A lot of people love that, by the way. You're not alone.
I wonder if we can get the one from last night. They had I forget what her title was. She had won a pageant of some sort, but boy, she nailed it. She was she was on hand, kind of a one-timer, not one of the regular rotation. And by the way, the four women that sing the national anthem on a rotating basis during the regular season all do a tremendous job. And, of course, the obvious answer would be make the playoffs again, and then maybe you get a couple extra celebrities there, a couple of fresh versions.
That could be back in play?
Well, I hope. I don't know. It's become a tradition, right? Yeah.
I know.
I'm just wondering. Just possible.
I think that would be a good. That would be. We've had a lot of fun over the years with that.
Yeah. Guess the anthem singer.
Guess the anthem singer, and who'll be on the band stage waving the towel or down on the ice? The rally towel person.
Right. Get a few more wins, and we can talk about it.
To your point, in our setup in Patron Platinum Club, there is a large speaker just outside of our glass house. We're in a glass case of emotion throughout the game, our broadcast site. And we have a speaker out there, and it never fails that typically somebody will come over when the anthem is going and ask either myself or Ladarius, which I will always point to Ladarius because I'm not touching any of those buttons and messing it up, asking to turn it up for the anthem because they are really enjoying whoever's singing it. So that's to your point. It never fails. It almost happens like every home game. So pretty cool. They've done a great job.
It's well done.
Season. Yep.
And look, I don't want to. There are some great anthem singers across the league, but it's Music City for a reason. You know, the band stage talent. Last night it was the mix. They often come there in the rotation. Don't take for granted the level of talent that you see with the singers in Music City. You know, like that. It's Music City for a reason. And you go to a random city. There was one band. I don't want to show them up in any way. But I remember saying, Mace and I looked at each other going, boy, these guys are struggling a little bit. It was like a pregame band. They were singing cover tunes and stuff. I mean, they were doing their best. They were singing their hearts out. But we kind of looked at each other. And the guy that worked there, the local guy, goes, guys, it ain't Music City. He said, what do you want, man? This ain't Music City.
In other words, they're not travel ball level. Go back to rec.
Yeah, right, exactly. Rec ball level.
Nothing wrong with that, but, you know, travel ball.
It's just, trying. Yeah.
Just high, big standards for travel ball. You just maybe go back to rec and hone your craft. Nate in Hermitage says he is a Memphis native, and he said he loved the win last night by the Grizzlies, and he's feeling much better about going into Minnesota's games, games three and four in Minnesota. As always, thanks for talking Grizzlies on the show. Love it as a Memphis to Nashville transplant. Of course, Nate. And by the way, be listening at 11 o'clock. Told you, we'll have the one and only Teresa Walker from Associated Press, who is going to Predators game one night, then racing to Memphis another night, and sitting courtside and covering the Grizzlies. By the way, she's staying there. I think they had a practice today. Is that right, Elijah? And she was going to be covering their practice before they head to Minnesota. So we should get some good insights from Teresa at 11 o'clock. So, Nate, look, you guys have spoken. We asked the question many, many times. We dedicated a whole hour on this show, and you guys have spoken loud and clear that you're paying attention to this Grizzlies team. And if you're paying attention and you want coverage, we'll give it to you. So that's coming up at 11 o'clock. Brian, on our text line. Hold on, I'm sorry. We're getting so many texts, I can't keep up. Let's see. Brian says, the way the Preds play the Arizona game scares the crap out of me. I'm not sure what that means, Brian. The way the Predators play the Arizona game. Have you watched Arizona lately? They give up 7 goals a game. It shouldn't scare the crap out of you.
I'll tell you this, though. The last day of the season, if that were to get in, it'd be a lot of pressure. There'd be a lot of pressure, and be no pressure on Arizona. But they are the worst of the worst. They are, you know, there's some teams that
they're
having
a bottom
trouble
feeder
anybody right now. They are the bottom.
Yeah, they're the worst team in the league.
But at the same time, they've won 22 games this year.
Yeah, well, nobody's gone 0-82. I'm pretty sure
that's what I'm saying. Like, so, but Montreal is the bottom of the heap in the East. You can look at it every night. There's always somebody. Ottawa is not a great team. Ottawa just beat Vancouver, who absolutely had to have it last
Coach
night.
Coach Willie, enough, okay? Enough trying to pump up. Look, Lou Holtz, stop it. It's Arizona. Don't feed into what Brian just texted in.
Look,
it's Arizona.
Like
Go beat
like
the crap out of a crappy team. Stop.
You'll be coming
Arizona
from
Coyotes team? There's unbelievable. They've won 22 games this year.
No, I'm just saying.
Don't.
Do we need to tell the Terry Crisp story?
Don't.
When,
no.
When he got don't the when he got the time. Lightning into the playoffs for the first time, they needed New Jersey to lose to Ottawa, who was an expansion team, and they were horrendous. And they beat New Jersey, the defending champions, to get the Tampa in on the last day of the season. So crazy stuff happened.
I refuse to play this game. I refuse to play this.
That was a good changer team.
I mean, just tell you what, anything can happen in this league. It's crazy. Stop it, Lou. Just stop it. Viking Matt, bring on Calgary. Now we're talking. Come on. Don't do all this loser stuff. Oh, Arizona, you got
to
be careful.
No, what I want is to have nothing on the line for that game. It would be nice to rest UC Saros and some guys for that game in particular. It's a back-to-back because you're playing Colorado the day before. So it's an intriguing thing that you'll get to when you get to it. You got to use the rest right now. But there's a lot of different scenarios that could be on the line or not on the line for that game.
Brian is just saying they have not looked good against crappy teams. But based on what? I thought they looked good against San Jose. They should have. Yeah, they won 1-0 in overtime, but they won. They got 2 points. They didn't. They
San Jose's been taking
Chicago,
everybody to overtime.
And they,
San Jose's
they
been
won
taking
4-3.
Everybody to overtime.
They're beating the crappy teams. Like, they're not winning 8-1, but, I mean, they're winning. So it's just about the points. Everything is a point grab at this point.
That's my point against Arizona. If you think you're just going to walk out every time against these teams and beat them 5-0, it doesn't happen. Just look around the league. Ottawa beat Vancouver last night. San Jose's been taking everybody to overtime. They lost to Dallas 2-1. They've been getting points. Chicago even two nights ago against Calgary. They're down 3-2 in the third period. Good chances to tie the game up, and gave up two empty net goals at the end. So nothing is easy.
Let's see, who is this? Frank in Smyrna. Hey, Frank. The national anthem singer in Tampa sounds like the Preds anthem singer, Tamika Harris. I will be in Tampa on Saturday night rooting for the Preds. All right, cool.
I think she pronounces it Tamika. Tamika Nicole.
Tamika?
Is it, okay. Yes, it was Harris. I think, I guess I'm just assuming maybe she got married. But, yeah, she is as good as anybody. I'd put Tamika up there with anybody. And Keisha Rainey as well. Fantastic. Fantastic.
Look, I'm going to slide out of the way. The floor is yours, sir. You got way more knowledge than me on
Goosebumps. Yeah.
The anthem singer. So good for you. I'll let you handle the text about the anthem singers. You seem to know when they've changed their name, who they're married to. So I'm going to slide out of the way.
I don't know who she's
married to. I just know they're
to.
Really good. They're really, really good. Keep up the good work. Well, Frank, have fun down in Tampa. We will come back and talk about the night that was for Matt Duchene. He's gone where no man has ever gone. We do that next. ESPN 102.5 The Game. If you're looking for a place to hang Saturday night and watch the Preds battle the Lightning, we've got it for you. The Preds Bud Light Watch Party, Headquarters Beercade, drink specials, plus a chance to win tickets to an upcoming game. Keep that in mind. Headquarters Beercade, located at 114 2nd Avenue South, downtown. The puck will drop at 6 o'clock Saturday evening. That man you just heard, Pete Weber, and Hal Gill will have your call. I'll have pregame for you starting at 5. Back here on the DDC, Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. Matt Duchene gets it done. 40th goal in the season with just under 8 minutes to go in the second period after Philip Forsberg netted his 39th on just a wicked shot. To quote Hal Gill, I can't do the Boston accent. A wicked one-timer. I can't do it.
He was due for one.
I suck at Boston accent. But he had a nice, that was a pretty shot to get his 39th. And as I told Matt Duchene in second period intermission, I feel like you and Phil have been going back and forth all year with goals, so I guess after his, you decided it was your turn. And he laughed and, you know, talked about his goal. And I asked him about Forsberg going over there. Forsberg was in a tough spot. He wanted to celebrate. He wanted to join the crowd and celebrate, but he wanted to get the puck for Matt Duchene, and so he said they've been doing that all year. So pretty cool moment. Wonky play, right? Didn't even count as a shot on goal, but nonetheless, he gets his 40th. And at that point, the Predators had extended their lead to 2-0. As we would find out, that would be a pretty darn important goal.
Well, you know, it is a really interesting play because at the end of the night, when you look at the stat sheet, officially, as we sit here right now,
DeShane had no shots on goal.
He had no shots on goal, but he had a goal. So how does that work? Well, Calgary actually was the ones that put it in their own net in the full scramble. But it was incorrectly scored, because if you take a look, Matt Duchene shot the puck right before and created the rebound and the scramble that was put in. So that should have absolutely been a shot on goal. Otherwise, why would he get the goal? He was the last guy that touched the puck. So he clearly touched it. Why they determined that wasn't a shot before, I think it was a great save by the goaltender. So I don't think that's right. But that's a sort of an odd stat. It's like Chris Mason has a goal on his register in the NHL, but obviously he didn't shoot it. The other team, he was the last guy to touch it, and the other team put it in. So that's how that commonly works, but they all count the same, right? And so it was a great thing. I love the quote by John Hines you guys played on the postgame show last night, where he said it was like an Easter egg hunt, all the teammates rushing over to try to grab that puck to celebrate with Matt Duchene, because they knew that was the 40-goal mark.
Did Forsberg, he's the one who ended up getting it, right?
Forsberg did get it first. Okay. He grabbed it away from Carrier. They were both grabbing for it.
Give me that one, youngster.
Yeah.
I'm giving it to Matt.
But it was a good – I like what Hal Gill said, too, was it was a workmanlike goal. You know, it wasn't a pretty shot, although if you break down the 40 goals, Duchene has made some really great snipes. You know, skating, get in position, pinpoint wrist shot, you know, gaining the scoring area. But that was a good, greasy goal. So that's how you get to 40, right? And that's...
Well, that's the difference in Matt Duchene's game this year.
Yes, no question. Doing the right things. Yeah. Adding levels to his game, the great communication he's had back and forth.
With John Hines.
Two-way street with John Hines. Yep. So that was a good example of what they're talking about. And Philip Forsberg, breaking out of the goal-scoring slump, I thought it was another thing that, you know, John Hines continued to harp on with him while he was going through the tough times. Hey, don't let it affect the rest of your game. Help us win in all areas. And really the entire team bought in to that last night with, you know, being sound on your end, the good defense and the structure will lead to the offense. And so I thought that was probably the biggest theme of the night.
Yeah, the play happened so fast, I didn't really get a good look at it. And so I saw people on Twitter like, oh, they credited him that. He didn't even score that. So I went back last night after the game. I pulled Jared Cassidy, who was running the game back at Network Control Studios, sent me the video from you guys, from your coverage at Bally's. And I watched it probably last night, I'm not kidding, really, 30 times at least. And I still really never got a true look of like how just it was. Like I said, it was a wonky play.
Okay.
At first, like,
I'm looking at it right now.
So many times I thought he lost his stick, and then I went back and I was like, no, he didn't lose his stick. He had his stick in his hand. I thought his stick got knocked out of his hand as the continuation of the play. Then I realized after I watched it enough, no, he had the stick in his hand. I never could get a real good look at truly how that puck ended up in the back of the net.
Well, I'm looking at it right now. It's so he gets a good pass. And by the way, this is another thing. They initially gave assists to Forsberg and Granlund, which I think should stand. But obviously the puck was put in by the Flames, so that's why they took him away. But I think that's a subject for debate, because Duchene is set up by a really nice series of passes. But he swoops in at the top of the crease. He tries to lift it over the pad of Vladar, and he gets stuffed. A great save by Vladar in close. It's clearly a shot. He's got full possession in front of the net. He makes a stick handling move. He gets around a poke check by the goaltender. So he gets around his stick, and then Vladar makes a great pad save. The rebound's sitting there. Duchene is spun out of the play by the defender, but as they scrambled to get the rebound and Forsberg was crashing in there, the Flames put it into their own net. So I thought it was pretty simple. Honestly, I don't understand why they wouldn't give him a shot on goal.
Why would Forsberg not get the assist? I mean, he's the one that had the
only thing I can think of is because the Flames were the ones that actually put the puck in the net, and therefore they take the assists away. But I think that doesn't make any up for debate.
Sense. If you're going to credit the Predators with a goal, if you're going to credit a player with a goal on the Predators, why would you not credit someone for an assist on the play? If you're going to credit everyone else, why does it stop at the assist person? That doesn't make any sense to me. I know what you're saying. I get it. Calgary is the one. But if you credited the Predators with a goal, you credited Duchesne with the goal, why would you not credit Forsberg for initially starting the play? I mean, he's the one that started the whole sequence. So why doesn't he get an assist? It doesn't. I don't understand that part of it.
Well, I told you why they did it. Now, we can debate what the rule is, and I don't know if there's a hard fast. I don't know what the hard fast rule is, to be honest with you. I don't know if there is a set policy that, hey, if the puck is put in by, if it's an OG, an own goal, there can't be an assist. I don't know if there's that rule there. Maybe that's the rule.
So,
They did put it in. Calgary did tap it into
who
their
did?
Own net.
I didn't see. That's
the defenseman.
Again,
he was crashing back to keep Forsberg. He was trying to keep Forsberg from getting to the rebound because Forsberg was about to get there.
Did he kick it or was it his stick? Like, how did it end up? What was sent to me, I watched it over and over again. I never really got a great angle or view of exactly how it ended up in the back of the net.
Well, I just explained it, but I'll explain it again. Duchesne comes in, turns the corner, puts a shot on goal. The goalie is down and out. He makes a great save. Forsberg is coming in from the left wing side to try to get the loose puck. But the defender for Calgary is speeding back just as Vladar is reaching for it. And their sticks kind of got tangled. I think it's the stick or the glove hand, whatever Vladar is reaching with, which I can't really see. And the guy skating full speed, he kind of tips it. It's Tanev, the defender, the defenseman. So I think I believe it's Tanev's stick that gets on it, trying to peel it out of there. Yeah, Tanev.
Christopher, not Brandev. Not Brandon, right?
Right. not his brother. Christopher Tanev.
Okay, well, I guess there you have it. Nonetheless, it counts, and Matt Duchesne has by the way, really cool night in his 900th career NHL game. You would expect Duchesne to be 38 years old, right, celebrating his 900th career NHL game. Yeah, that was career game 900 for him, and he gets goal 40. Of course, he's had a career year, and now he's in the record books in franchise history. Now we'll wait and see. Can Philip Forsberg finish it off? And boy, wouldn't that be unbelievable? We've talked about it for over two decades. When is it going to happen? And this year it could happen. Well, it already has happened, and it could happen twice. Pretty cool.
Well, right? I feel good about it for sure because I think they're both doing the right things here. I think this bodes well. Hopefully the drought is slowly coming to an end, and hopefully you start peaking at the right time here.
Forsberg is not finishing with 39. He's getting to 40. Okay, he's not going to finish with 39. All right, you want to tiptoe today? I'm not tiptoeing today. All right. I said it at the end of the show last night. Yesterday, what did I say, Elijah? What did I say at the end of the show? Who wins?
So the Preds and the Grizzlies win.
Preds, Grizzlies. Mark it down. Go bet on it right now. They win. Who won last night? Preds and Grizzlies. I'm not tiptoeing, Willie. You want to tiptoe today? Tiptoe. I'm not doing it. We'll come back. Ryan Johansson was on Robbie and Rex Road this morning. We'll hear something that he said, and we'll discuss this team and what he said to close that hour number one. That's next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. There you go, Joey. He agrees with me. Two 40-goal scorers. Ryan Johansson this morning on Robbie and Rex Road saying it's probably the most fun he's ever had in his career this season, this team. Pretty cool stuff. Robbie and Rex Road are good, by the way. I know Michelle said they're the worst, but I thought they did a really good job in that interview and a really good job this morning. And they do a good job every morning. Elijah and I were laughing. Like, I wonder what prompted Michelle. Michelle did that with such passion. You guys are the worst. I don't know what was at the crux of that. But what do you make of Ryan Johansson saying, this is probably the most fun he's ever had in his career this season with this team?
I love that he said that. I think he's, you know, every year, I think when you really get him in the right setting, I think you can tell how much wisdom he's gained over his time as a Predator. He was still a very young player when he came here in the 2015-2016 season. You know, he's been through a lot. You know, he's been through a lot the last few years. And there's been some struggles and, you know, the whole thing about not being protected. And, you know, he's human. He's aware, just as Matt Duchene was, about all the criticism and the unmet expectations of being a number one center in the league. And he deserves to be having fun, I think, for the bounce back that he's had this year. I think, just like Duchene, I think he examined his own game and said, how do I make this work? How do I prove to myself and everybody that I can do this job as a 1 or 1A center in the league? So, and then the other part of it, and I think he said this in different interviews with conversations I've had with him, that youthful energy that guys like Tomasino and Trennan and Jeannot and Carrier, that group that came up starting last year and more this year, that has infused all kinds of different vibes into this locker room. And it's been a really good locker room ever since.
Sorry, I thought I was going to sneeze. False start.
So now we've each had a penalty on the
yeah.
day.
Yeah, well, I was and then you stopped, and then I was like, oh, okay, no sneeze.
Penalties are offsetting.
Yeah, they were offsetting. So no harm, no foul. It is interesting that when he said that really jumped out. I mean, we've heard it. We both have talked to the players all year, and they constantly just talk about the room, right? Now we're gonna find out if it's gonna really translate, and I think they're gonna be a scary out. It's gonna be interesting to see what the rest of the league is gonna say, right? What we have Elliot Friedman on. What is NHL Network going to say about a first-round matchup? I'll be very curious. And I know they still haven't gotten there yet, but they, when they punch their ticket in, I do wonder how the rest of the league, how the national media will view this Predators team. Are they going to view them as a scary out? I would think so because of the season that they've had. Because I was looking at the text line, and Henry on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, had this question. Did anyone see the Predators getting to this point at the beginning of the season? And my answer would be, yeah, this is kind of what we said, right? This was the prediction. They were going to be hovering around that playoff line, you know, 1 minute in, maybe 1 minute on the outside looking in, back in. And it's kind of played out that way, although I would say they're probably a skosh better than we all predicted, especially – a lot of predictions. I mean, a lot of predictions had them like no chance. But we talked a lot in training camp before the season, leading up to the regular season, about how they were going to be one of those teams like they're just going to be right there battling for a playoff spot. And I think that for the most part, that's held true, right? But I would say maybe just a little bit better. They exceeded expectations. Fair to say or no?
I think outside expectations, they've vastly exceeded expectations. If you look at the preseason predictions, what were they saying about the Predators? They were saying, okay, last year, somebody had to finish fourth in the Central. Dallas had the hangover from the run in the bubble. They had all kinds of injury issues. Nashville took advantage of that. And they did a great job the last month and a half of the season. They got hot. But was that for real? Then in the offseason, they traded Ryan Ellis and they traded Victor Arvidsson. So there were others that said, oh, they're going to take a step back. But internally, and I won't forget, when I went into training camp and talked to some of the staff for the first time after they had a few practices, they were very confident that they were better than they were last year. They said, I think we're better. I believe that we're better. We want to write our own story. So to their credit, They have believed that last year wasn't a fluke, and that they could continue to build off of last year despite getting younger. Trading you know, linchpins like Ellis and Arvidsson. Let's not forget, and also losing Cali Yonkrook, right? Those are three guys that played over 500 games each for the Predators and won a ton of massive, massive hockey games. Think about how much success those three guys had together. You lost those guys and replaced them with younger guys, and yet still are in position to take a step forward here.
Yeah, Devante from Nashville on our text line says, Darren, clearly you never played sports. Respect your opponent. Devante, clearly I did play sports, and I did respect my opponent, but I'm not going to play scared on the radio. I'm not. Arizona doesn't deserve the respect of the worst team in the league, and they're going to have the number one pick in the draft in the final game of the regular season when all they've got their golf bags in the trunk, they've got their luggage packed, and they're thinking about the offseason and not getting hurt because they don't want to be rehabbing in the offseason. They'll have no interest in playing that game, okay? I'm not going to prop up Arizona. It's not about not respecting. They don't deserve the respect. They're the worst team in the league. And look, if you can't beat them, that's on you.
Yes. If you can't beat Arizona on the last day of the season to get in,
that's
if that's
you.
What it comes down like, to, then that is on you. There's no question. I'm just saying that there would be a lot of pressure. There's been a lot of weird games with nobody in the stands where the Predators have laid an egg in that building for one reason or another, even when Arizona hasn't been really good. I just think anything can happen in this league. Hopefully it doesn't come down to that. But like I said before, you could be trying to hold off Dallas in that game. That's a very real possibility. Dallas has back-to-back games tonight in Edmonton, tomorrow in Calgary. So Calgary's flying all the way back to Calgary to play two home games. Then they turn around and fly all the way back here to play the Predators again on Tuesday. So Calgary's in a weird portion of their schedule because they're still making up the games. Remember, they were the first team to go down with the COVID and shut down. So they're still they're feeling that part of the schedule right now. So they have a really strange end of the season. Hopefully they play well out there and play well against the Stars. The Stars got beat pretty soundly by Vancouver the other night. We know how well Edmonton's playing. So this is obviously a key back-to-back. The Predators are going to sit there for they don't play until Saturday, and they're going to watch Dallas play these two games. So how many points does Dallas have after this back-to-back?
Yeah. Unnamed texter says, Joe and Robbie were probably calling Michelle out for loving UK basketball. Glad no one on the DDC loves the Fighting Calipari's. Yeah, good point, texter. Welcome to Nashville. Welcome to 102.5 The Game. Just checking out our show for the first time. Good point. Yeah, yeah. What you said. Yeah.
No one here has any ties to the University of Kentucky. Nope. None
no one
whatsoever.
Has never even been on this show, has been to the state of Kentucky. So, good point. By the way, did you see Matt Duchene, his wife on Instagram, posted about playing in 900 games? Remember game 100 of your NHL career when I baked a cake for you? And then Duchene responded to it on Instagram last night and says, I didn't see any goodies on the counter when I got home tonight. I guess you're over it, huh?
That's
pretty
funny.
Good little back
I
and
love,
forth.
I love that they're doing that. You know, they're feeling comfortable, secure enough to share some stuff like that. I think that always adds flavor. You know, and I certainly respect anybody that wants to keep their family life private, but it adds a little spice, you know, when you have that interaction. That's pretty cool. There's some good ones throughout sports, and you appreciate that.
I gotta read this one on the way out, and then we gotta get to Teresa Walker for hour number two. Barrett in the Borough on our text line says, "Hey Darren, so beat the worst team in the league, and you're in the playoffs. I got you." Signed, Carson Wentz. Well done. hat tip, Barrett.
Whoops.
Well done. Teresa Walker was sitting courtside last night in Memphis. We'll begin the second hour with her next.